Welcome to this edition of the Million Dollar Mastermind Podcast. This is where we pick the brains of high achievers from all walks of life and get their hard-earned, real-world insights on winning. I'm your host, Larry Wydell.
How big was your construction company and what area did it spread into? Was it residential? How did that evolve? I'm sure you started with one project and compounded out, right?
Yeah. I mean, it was started with a trash pile on a residential construction site where I built my scaffolding and went to work, did my first four or five houses by myself. So it started in the residential new construction category. That briefly led into remodeling, that later led into commercial. So by the time I actually exited and retired from the business this last year, we had our best year had been just under nine figures. And we had also been in commercial, probably about at 40%, 60% residential. And that was kind of like the general breakdown. We operated in multiple states. We had 400 plus team members when you factor in some of the 1099 help and stuff that we had across multiple states. It was a pretty sizable organization for a high school dropout, in the grand scheme of things.
Absolutely amazing. Now, how did that, was that by design or did you just have grab a tiger by the tail and business came in and you're just growing and growing this state from state to state to project? What was your thinking as you're going through that growth?
Well, I'll tell you, I think this happens for a lot of entrepreneurs. When you first get started the first 5 or 10 years, you're very tactical. Like what needs to happen today to get a paycheck tomorrow? And I think a lot of businesses start off that way. Is it marketing? Is it sales? Is it activity? What is it? Somewhere along the way, if you start to have enough pain in your business, you move from tactical thinking to strategical thinking. So about midway through the game plan, I realized that I had to learn how to read a balance sheet and a P&L and an income statement. And when I could learn to read those things, all of a sudden, now I could see what was actually going on in the business. Once I knew what was actually going on in the business, now I could actually laser focus on areas that needed improvements, whether that was me, the team, or beyond. So I think it's the natural trajectory of any business to start at a tactical level. And then as you're growing in success and pain points, you will either become a strategical thinker and grow, or you'll stay a tactical thinker and stay stagnant. It will happen that way. I say all that to say that when I exited the business this last year, I never thought it was going to be as big as it got. That was not the overall intention. My intention first and foremost was to feed myself and get some shelter. So I knocked that out. Then it was to get out of debt. Then it was to start to go on a maybe go on a vacation once a year, right? So there was a lot of personal goals that were driving business goals. And then somewhere along the lines, I discovered that I wanted to create a legacy that outlived me, just like Steve did with me. So I started teaching my team. I was joking around with people all the time. They asked me what led to the success of the construction company. I say it's because it was a construction company and on the surface, but it was actually a personal development company underneath. So we would have team meetings where we're talking about the books we're reading. We'd bring keynote speakers in. I'd send people to seminars. We would host seminars. That aspect of continually trying to grow your team from the inside out organically grows your business from the outside.
Yeah.
So that goes from a tactical, strategical, and now you've got total team alignment. And now this is how the business actually grew to the state in which it was before I exited. I say all that to say that I didn't plan it. I just went after it. I got after it on a consistent basis and good things happened with a lot of pain along the way.
That comes back to one of my principles, which is you focus on growth and then the problem areas will reveal the next problem you need to fix is going to show up.
Ain't that the truth?
That's the truth. And don't worry about the problems you're going to be fixing 2-3 years from now. Fix the one that's going to be the biggest annoyance for the next month and hold you back from. And pain in construction has, as I remember, has a lot to do with missing deadlines, not having supplies, not having personnel or personnel disappointing you.
Yep.
Are people not supervisory people not paying attention to you and not doing it? I think you'll find this funny. I used to carry around, again, north side of Atlanta, we're building houses. I got so tired of arguing with the subs when I'd come back and they'd done something totally different than what we had designed, planned, drawn. I just got to where, and then there's a big debate. It's better like this, it's better, and then you got to debate it and then find out. So I got to the point where I just carried around a 10-pound sledge and a chainsaw in my truck.
Just break it loose and start over.
If I showed up and they built a big monstrosity, either out of masonry or out of wood, I'd either take out the 10-pound sledge and I wouldn't say a word. I'd just knock it out and say, do it like I told you the last time. Or I'd go in there and cut it out with a chainsaw because I got tired of the debates. But their pain comes up very quickly because you have deadlines in construction.
That's right.
And you have inspectors coming in that is going to make sure you hit the right things. What kind of pain did you run into as a young guy that you can remember? The earliest type pain things that you had to run into and deal with that caused you to grow? Get serious. I'm going to grow. I'm going to get better. Or I don't want to deal with this the rest of my life.
Yeah, I think the greatest mistake I ever made in building a business was trying to build a business without building myself. I say all that to say that about 4 or 5, 6 years in, I started hiring on staff that had CFO, COO, these different acronyms behind their name. Now, these people I was bringing in intensified my insecurity because they were qualified to be in those roles. But yet, as the founder, the quote-unquote CEO, I wasn't trained how to do any of that stuff.
Right.
You find yourself shooting down really great ideas, mistreating really good people because of insecurities or because of you don't want to let them know you don't know what you don't know, right? One thing I would say to any CEO founder is I would rather you or inspire you or invite you to go ahead and admit where you struggle to your management team and let your management team backfill in those areas and hire as such. So if you know you're not really good with the Excel spreadsheets and the details, hire someone that is, that you can trust and is reliable. I had so many things around my business outside of the things that you already mentioned, the construction field supplies and subcontractors and all that, because that's true for all businesses. So much of my struggles in business dealt with me being in my own way.
Really?
Yep. Not taking enough time to make an important decision. So being in a rush, not letting someone go when they really needed to be let go, not hiring someone of higher caliber and keeping and holding on to somebody that had been with me for, well, he's been with me for 10 years because you don't want, but the reality is the company is a lot like a child, a baby, if you will. If you don't feed the baby the right nutrients, the baby is not going to last.
Yeah.
Your business is the same way. So getting accustomed to making the hard decisions that you must make as a founder and a CEO on a consistent basis, but making them in wisdom is vital to any business success, which is why I say a lot of my problems were self-induced. Self-inflicted gunshots, if you will.
Yeah.
How I handled my team, how I handled my finances. I was really good with clients and customers. I could sell like nobody's business. I could create the deals and get all that stuff going. But you still have to fulfill the obligation if you're going to have a successful company.
Right.
And if your team is not ready to fulfillment and you're leading them poorly in the fulfillment cycle, then you're going to get yourself into trouble. So those are like probably the big ones for me.
Yeah. It's like you have two things. That's why the ability to say no is so important in leadership, in the sense that everybody's got a great idea. And once you get going and get popular, business will line up.
Yeah.
So you have these opportunities, but you've got to evaluate, if you're in charge, you've got to evaluate, do we have the capacity to execute? Now we've got an idea. Now we got a new project, possibly. I use the example of like when Coca-Cola had the opportunity to move into communist, into China. Billions of people, great, the door opened. If they did not have the management team in place to be able to move over there, they could have taken advantage of that opportunity. They could have said they would, but it takes years to get those people in place. And so that was the sign of good management, that they could open that door and they could move in. And so that's why it's really instructive what you were doing with building your management team and doing all these extra things and leadership development thing, because whether you knew it or not, you are creating the groundwork for future growth. But I hear that you sold that business or you got out of that business, which I can understand because construction is a morning, noon, and night relentless. You can't get away from it thing, as I remember it.
Especially when it gets that size, for sure.
Yeah, yeah. And so the thing is that I can understand you, there's only a period of time that you can be a professional athlete. And there's only so many times, like, see, the average, you know, on a Fortune 500 company, the average term of a CEO is 5 years because it's an intensive pressure cooker type thing.
Well, and reality is the business is going to need new levels of talent. So I'll tell you this much. One of my choices of why I chose to exit this last year, and when I exited, I actually transitioned to my existing management team plus a new CEO. So I brought a CEO in that I knew very well, very established, very gifted it is in that role. And I merged him with our internal team. And as a result, we have a very nice plan that they're executing on already, which is great. But one of the primary choices of me deciding when to exit or when to retire from that particular business came down to a couple of key questions. Do I really love this, right? And do I love this type of business? Am I really the most qualified to take it from nine figures to beyond? Okay. So a qualification aspects. Do I have the desire to do what's necessary to go to nine figures and beyond? And when I began to answer those questions, I began to discover that I had a very competent executive management team that was just missing a couple pieces. So I brought those pieces in. I love the construction industry for what it did for me and the avenue it created for me, but it's not something that I enjoy managing. Now I can invest in real estate and things of that nature more of at a passive level, which is a lot more fulfilling to me because I still understand it. I understand the business.
Right.
Thirdly, I have a passion and desire to basically take that 8 out of 10 businesses fail thing and turn it on its head.
Yeah.
I want to go in, and I've done this a few times. I'll take a 5 or 6 figure entrepreneur, someone who's very early stage, someone I refer to as the everyday entrepreneur, and I will pour into them, just as Steve Myrick did to me, to help them create an 8-figure business and beyond. And I have more excitement around that. I can make a bigger impact myself personally around that than anything else, which is why I chose to do it. On the flip side, I also realized because of I wasn't as crazy about the business. While I could push it to 9 figures and beyond, I didn't really have the desire to like really get after it. I was doing a disservice to my team.
Right.
I think a lot of founders and CEOs will stay on too long because it was their baby and they own it, you know, that kind of thing. And they'll end up running it into the ground or running it towards what I would call a declining factor, because the reality is they're not really passionate about it anymore.
For those of you who are sick and tired of fooling around and are dead serious about wanting to move up fast, I've got something especially for you. I've combined the best insights from over 40 years in business and making $70 million in income and compressed them into a free webinar. That's right, it's a free resource. If you want to find out exactly what the concepts are that I use in coaching Million Dollar Earners, register now at WeidellOnWinning.com. You'll discover the 5-part framework used by so many to reach their financial, personal, and professional goals. You can find that link in this episode's show notes.
Isn't it amazing, Steve? Isn't it amazing how the growth of a company is directly related to the passion of the leader?
Yeah.
It's amazing. And that passion starts to fade.
100%.
The growth, it affects everything. It's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah.
You can't hide it.
100%. Here's a key point for anyone listening that owns a business. If you're apathetic about your business,
yeah,
find someone else to run it. Entrepreneurs, true entrepreneurs deal in extremes.
Yeah.
They're either all in or they're all out. They very seldom can bridge the gap between both. And I don't want to discourage entrepreneurs who are trying to find the balance between their family and their lifestyle. What I would say is if you're not willing to go ahead and put calendar time with your family already in your calendar now, don't anticipate you're going to do it 20 years from now after you made $1 billion.
Yeah.
By that time, the window has passed for you to actually connect with your family. In this new season that I'm going into now, which is I'm going to be building another business because that's what I do. I can't help myself. But now it's about what I want to do. So 5-6 hours a day, I'm working. And now I've got time with the family. As an early stage entrepreneur, but an average business is 12 hours a day.
I think I'm interested in your thought on this. I believe the answer to the balance thing for an entrepreneur is that you work to the point where you have the opportunity to where when things come up in your life, like with your kids, they're in a sports thing and now they're going to the nationals or their competition. And like for that period of time, you're all in with that child. For right now, I'm all in on that child. You know, keep the other things going. I'm not going to be there forever. I'm not, you know, but to be able to go all in as you choose and still set things up to where it's not dependent on you running, you know, you reach that point, but where it's like a farmer. When it's harvest time and the crops are ready, the hay's ready, and the rains are coming, you better be able to go around the 24 hours around the clock and get that hay in the barn. Otherwise, the whole year is wasted. And that kind of thing. For a short blips, you're all in on whatever needs to be your attention, but you're not locked. The thing is, when we get started, we're locked into that thing and you can't break free. But it's important to realize if you build a team, you do the things you're talking about, and you get to where you can delegate and you can trust your people, then you can pull out for short periods of time and go all in on a family project or something with your spouse or your community, your church.
Yeah, there's a major difference in going on an extended vacation and then choosing a half-in, half-out lifestyle. A couple of things. First of all, with your entrepreneurs, I would say, for those of you who think if it's up to me, if it's to be, it's up to me, you are not building a scalable business. A business can only be scaled as if it can be ran without you being there.
Right.
Okay? Long-term. We can scale a business. The other thing too, on the family aspect, I heard this and it changed how I looked at the family dynamic. So I think this is important. Most business owners, sales teams, people that work in a business are more than happy to go the extra mile for their customers. They'll pick up the phone. They would never ignore them. They'll send them the extra email. They'll write the handwritten card. They'll remember the birthdays. They'll give them a bonus when they buy something, this, that, or the other thing. This comment changed my life as it relates to the family. I had a good friend of mine. He had built at the time, a nine-figure business. He had gone through his fourth divorce. He had numerous children. And he said it finally dawned on him that the thing that he was missing was he never treated his family as if they were customers. So think about this. If your family is your customer, when your son's about to start his first grade, write him a handwritten card. Pay attention to his football games. Pay attention to the birthdays. Pay attention to the date nights. You know what I'm saying? So it's, for some reason, one of the things is, and I don't know if this is a man thing. It's a man thing for me because it's something I had to break free from. I felt like that if I wasn't providing well, I wasn't doing well with my family. What I've discovered more than anything else is they need safety and security, sure, but they care more about the quality time than they do about the stuff and the trips. They would rather go hop in a car and go to a local beach or the local mountains and have a getaway weekend that doesn't really cost much of anything in the grand scheme of things than a trip to Maui.
Yeah.
I'm going to invite every entrepreneur, every business owner, every C-suite professional listening to this podcast, watching the podcast, to today start to treat their family as if they're customers, as if you value their business, you value their time, you value them. And if you'll do that, when you need them to show up, when you're going to go through an extended season for 18 months where you're going to be, and you can sit down and say, hey guys, I got this big thing over here. This is what it could mean for us. It's an 18-month commitment. I'm going to go balls to the wall for this for 18 months. This is my game plan. They're going to be like, yeah, dad, let's go. Go get it, dad.
Right.
Right. It's a whole lot different than dad's not around again. And you have absent father syndrome. So, and I'm sure that happens in male and female environment. That's my frame of reference as a man is
right.
Decide to treat your family as if they're customers. And you'd be surprised at how much more initiative or inspiration you will get in building your thing. Because now you have the team buy-in, you have the family buy-in, and you got your vision.
Yeah.
And now you're unified and now you can get after it.
Yeah, because it's a matter of the difference with a customer and looking at them as a customer is customers can leave. They can go somewhere else. And
yeah,
if you take the family for granted, like they're always going to be here, what it's like going to...
You can leave too.
Right. And the thing is, when things are... It's like people who live in New York City never go see to the Empire State Building or go to the Statue of Liberty because like, what's it going to leave? We can do it next year. We can do it the year after that, and then they never go see it. And that's kind of the way people treat their family. It's like, well, yes, it's easy to push them back. And how did you get going in other businesses? Because you're running like a maniac in your construction business. Seems like you're doing a lot of outside training and support and expansion. All of it. Now, Steve, you're a glutton for punishment, it sounds like.
Yeah, I'm definitely a builder by nature. You know, it's funny. Started with construction that led into real estate investments. So that's kind of a silo, right? It's a lateral move. And that in that real estate investment, I could actually use some of my services from other business. So it's kind of almost like a horizontal integration. I stumbled my way into speaking and things of that nature at a happenstance event with one of Dave Ramsey's events. A speaker had just left. I was working with an immersion coach at the time. He's like, dude, you'd be a great speaker. I'm like, I'm a construction guy. I don't know nothing about speaking. He goes, well, there's already somebody pretty famous that started in construction and then had a massive business or massive movement. I'm like, yeah, who's that? Yeah, his name's Jesus. I'm like, oh, yeah. So I'm like, all right, I can deal with that. So long story short is I think there's a natural evolution of doing what you need to do to ultimately get to a place you get to do what you want to do. I discovered through the process of building business that I enjoyed building people within the business that gave me the skill sets to now to build people outside of the businesses. So that's the natural evolution for me. I know it's not normal, A lot of folks will go from whatever their business niche is into segments, vertical and horizontal integration, which still makes a lot of sense. I integrated them differently and with more of an undertone with the personal development piece. So I went from construction to real estate to personal development to thought leadership to events, and events all the way back to personal development. So it's a full circle for me.
Thanks for listening to the Million Dollar Mastermind. If you felt there were any valuable takeaways from this episode, please take a minute and leave us a 5-star review. Your feedback is important and really helps us get the word out to a wider audience. Remember, we have a valuable webinar that is absolutely free. Register for it right now at whiteallenwinning.com. Thanks for listening.